Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Ryan, I'm back. It's been, I think a month since the last one. Sorry it's been so long, but we've struggled a little with time. Work at a restaurant, and one of our managers was either quit or was fired. I'm not entirely sure which. And another one went on sick leave for a month. So a lot of extra duties have been assigned around to other people, quote unquote, temporarily. So my work week went from 4 days without any extra stuff to do at home to 5 full days with extra stuff to do at home. So it hasn't left much time for anything else, let alone like weed whacking or cleaning the bathroom, stuff like that. I barely have time for that stuff, let alone, recording a podcast or doing the research and notes for this. So it's been a bit of a struggle. I'm hoping to get back on board. I'm going to sit down with the manager at my job and let him know that I need to dial back my work hours and commitments and responsibilities. I'm in the car right now on my way to work. It's about an hour drive, so I'm just going to record. This is kind of just free form. I don't have anything planned to say right now. I just wanted to touch base, record something, I'll just go stream of consciousness and see what happens. I am in the car. It may be loud. I do apologize for that. I don't have air conditioning in my car, so I have to drive with the windows open. It's very hot. It's August. So if it ends up being too loud, I just won't post this, but I'll do this without any background music, and that'll help. And I actually had somebody send me a note asking if we could do the podcasts without background music, because she said she found it distracting or she couldn't listen to it. So I'm curious what everyone else thinks. I kind of like having a sort of a steady beat behind. It helps me listen, but that's kind of how my brain works. But I also, I was thinking about other podcasts that I do enjoy. And like Sam Harris's podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast, Mark Maron, other ones like that. And they don't have background music, so maybe that is preferable and you can just hear the voices and listen to the conversation without any distractions. A couple funny things I was thinking about along these lines is I just listened to a recent episode of Them Asperger's podcast, and it was kind of funny because they were talking about comorbidities, as you call it, or comorbid conditions, and I think, what was I going to say? A very common one with Asperger's is ADHD, which I definitely have, both Asperger's and ADHD. They also talked about executive functioning disorder. Now, I knew there were issues with executive functioning, but I've never heard of executive functioning disorder as its own separate diagnosis. So I'm going to research that and look into it a little bit. I'm a little bit curious of what that means. But one thing that he talked about on that podcast, which I found very interesting, was he talked about how people with Asperger's, when they get onto a subject that they're interested in or they are knowledgeable about or enjoy talking about, they'll just talk your ear off for hours, seemingly, about that subject. But if they have ADHD as well, then they'll be talking about that subject. Something they'll say will spark a different thought. Then they'll talk about that. And then something in there will spark a different thought. And then they'll go down that rabbit hole or down that train or whatever metaphor you want to use. And then you could end up really probably talking for all day, which is something that I think I'm capable of doing because I do have various interests and it's interesting you have that. He talked about that sort of battle that happens in your brain between the Asperger's and the ADHD, where the Asperger's wants to just focus intensely on one subject, but the ADHD wants to bounce around between different subjects. So you end up having you sort of bounce from subject to subject and intensely focus on each of those subjects for whatever period of time until you bounce to the next one. But then the Asperger's wants to always go back to the original subject, but the ADHD wants to keep you bouncing from subject to subject. So anyway, in the spirit of that, listening to that yesterday, I thought, well, I'll just do a stream of consciousness episode here and just see what happens. And it, you know, may or may not work out for the best. We'll see. I'm trying to play with the windows here in the car so that I've got some air coming through, but it's maybe not too loud. But I think it's a losing battle here. I think I'm pretty much just going to have noise. I hope it's not going to be too much noise. But anyway, on that subject of comorbid conditions, I mean, I've been trying to handle so much. And I work in a restaurant and I've taken on more responsibility. And it's funny to me because when I first started there, I've had responsibility in the past. Like, I've been doing this off and on for so long, I just end up getting more and more responsibility. And with experience, people just give you more and you take on more. And sometimes in the beginning, that's fun and you're learning new things and you're dealing with new things. But I had an experience a year ago when I was, I ended up managing a place and it was insane. I was working, close to 100 hours a week and it was just not sustainable and not fun and very stressful. And I worked for some people that were, I did not really enjoy because it was very difficult with having multiple different bosses who all seemingly wanted different things. So there was a lot of struggle with trying to understand what you were supposed to do when you had two or three different bosses all telling you to do different things that were not always like in sync. But anyway, the main thing there was just working too many hours and getting to that place where you're working 80 to 100 hours a week. It's just nuts. So I left there and I started this job a few months ago. And in interviewing for it, the manager's looking at my resume and there's management stuff on there. But I was very clear. I said, I don't want to manage. I want to work 4 days a week. That's it. I don't want any responsibility. I will come in. I'll be solid. I'll be a solid bartender you can rely on to get the job done and be clean and be do my thing. But I don't want any responsibility. I don't want to take it home with me. I want my days off to actually be days off. And unfortunately, what happens is people, when they know you're capable of doing things, they'll ask you to do it. And sometimes, and I have that problem where I'm not very assertive in the moment. And I want to please people because I think it's connected to always feeling so insecure in relationships and in situations and in environments where you just, so many other when you grow up and live your whole adult life with Asperger's, I mean, so many situations just explode, and you're always trying to just maintain it, and it's a difficult balance, and so I think I just say yes to things because I don't know what else to say in the moment, and I'm always trying to learn how to say no or how to press pause on even answering and say, well, let me think about it so that I can really decide. But I think what happens is I just kind of go, oh yeah, okay, I'll go along with that, and then I just do, and then something else comes along and I go, okay, I'll go along with that, and the next thing I know, I'm right back to working 60 hours a week and having responsibility that I didn't want, and then I'm not really being paid for. So I'm you know, that's contributed to not doing an episode in a while. And there's other things that fall by the wayside there. I mean, there's just home life. I have one day a week, which is my daddy-daughter day, where me and my daughter, it's just the two of us. And that's a precious day for me. And it's hard to really do anything else on that day. Like, I'm not getting much yard work or housework done or anything else on that day because I'm really just focused on her. And if I have to go mow the lawn or something, I don't want to just plop her down in front of the TV for an hour. So I want to have a different day where I can do housework and things. But we also have our Sundays, which we try to have as our family day, because it's the only day when my partner and I are both not working. So then family day, we might go do something fun, like go to the beach or go for a hike. Or last Sunday, we went to Storybook Gardens, which is a little kids' place an hour from us, where they have rides and a splash pad and climbers, and you know, it's very much all based on storybook characters, so the kids love it. So we did that, but by the time you get up in the morning and go and do a whole day there, and then we hit the grocery store on the way home and made dinner, we've been out in the sun all day, we're just exhausted, so we all crash out. So it's a beautiful day, but we don't get any housework done, and then I'm right back to work the next day. So it's I gotta dial that back down to 4 days a week. And I'm also, I mean, I want to be focusing on some creative things. If I'm not doing some creative projects, then I get a little squirrely, extra squirrely. And one of those creative projects is doing this podcast. And I also have a couple of writing projects that I'm trying to get off the ground. I'm really desperately trying to get out of working in bars and restaurants. It's really hard. You know, when you have Asperger's and you have sensory processing disorder and you have ADHD, working in a restaurant in a busy bar is not the best environment to be in. That being said, I do make the best of it. I do have moments where it's fun. There is an upside in that working in that environment has sort of forced me to learn socialization skills and everything. So I'm thankful for that I've had that experience. But I'm at a point now where I've been doing it off and on for 20 years, and I just want a quieter life. I don't want to get home at 3 a.m. anymore. I'm at an age, and I don't know, a time in my life where I really, my ideal life would be getting up at 6 a.m, going to work out, going for a run, coming home, having a shower, and then my partner and child waking up and making breakfast with them and having a nice morning breakfast, and then getting my child off to daycare or her grandma's house or wherever she's going for the day, and then my partner going to work, and then my ideal life would be me working at home doing writing. So I'm working on, I've got two book pitches that I'm formulating in my head right now that I want to start working on, and they both involve other people, so I need to plan those meetings out. And anyway, not to get too far down that rabbit hole right now, but basically I'm trying to work towards a book that I want to pitch and get it picked up by a publisher so that I can get, you know, even a little bit of an advance so I can focus on working on a book. That's my ideal life. I heard an interview on the Tim Ferriss podcast with the woman who wrote the book Quiet, and she talked about how her life works and how she just gets up and, you know, has, she's the cycle of how she writes a book, where she spends a year or so just collecting ideas and concepts, and then another however big chunk of time, a year or so, like jotting them down and formulating and planning the outline, and then another chunk of time writing, and then another chunk of time editing, and then it's this like few year process to like create a book. And I would listen to that and I just thought, oh my god, that sounds like the ideal life for me. Like, I'm a writer at heart, I know, and I've been told all my life that I'm a great writer by everyone, by all kinds of people, and I'm just trying to make that happen. I did write for many, many years. I wrote, did like music journalism, and I wrote for magazines, but this is going back a ways. And at the time, I was just young and stupid and really struggling with a lot of things and coping with my craziness with alcohol. And I really didn't put the work in that I should have, and I was just terrified of editors and couldn't really take criticism well and all that. And I realize now, like, okay, if an editor is criticizing my work, it's for the purpose of improving it. And that's good. That's a good thing. It's not them saying, you suck. It's them saying, hey, we can improve this. Like, and that's what they're for. So I'm in a place now where that's what I want to do, and I want to get back to writing, and that's what I think is my real skill or talent that I need to focus on. I'm desperately trying to get out of working in bars, but it's going to take a while. But I need to dial it back, because right now I'm at this place where I've been sort of slid down that slope of getting back into working like the 50, 60 hours a week, and I don't want to do that anymore. So that's what that is. So here we go. And now I'm trying to think of what I was talking about. So just a stream of consciousness podcast. Anyway, I've gotten some messages from some of you, and I really appreciate that. I just haven't had time to really get into it. I'm barely on my computer or on my phone these days for anything other than work stuff. But I also was thinking a lot about these comorbid condition things and how they all play with each other and interact and learning about them and just finding out names for things. Like, you know, I've been clumsy my whole life and like always bumping into things and tripping over stuff and bumping my head, and every single day walking through doorways I bang my shoulder on the side of a doorway every single day, usually multiple times a day. I trip over things, I bang my elbows and knees into things constantly. I just don't seem to know where my body is in relation to the objects around me, or where the objects around me are in relation to my body. And now I'm learning that there's a name for that. It's called dyspraxia. You know, same thing with ADHD, like learning about that. That, okay, there's a name for this. And it's this is why I'm so scatterbrained and disorganized and don't know where things are and don't remember when I'm supposed to do things and, you know, all this other stuff. And then there's like the Asperger's itself and everything that goes along with that. And then, yeah, all the executive functioning issues there. So just learning about all this stuff, listening to podcasts and reading about it, and it's crazy to me just like how much there is to learn and how much there is to know and how all these different things interact with each other and interplay. And I don't know. It's tough. And I'm finding too, like I'm noticing the stress that happens in a lot of situations, and I don't know. I'm trying to reduce the stress levels. It's another thing with work, like having more responsibility. It's when you become the person that people have to talk to when they have a problem. That's a really stressful place to be, and I'm deciding that I don't want to be that person. I can deal with the situation in the situation. It just takes a lot out of me, and I've gotten compliments from customers who have had complaints or had bad situations, and I've come in and I've fixed it or made up for it or done what I could, and I've had customers say, well, thank you, you handled this really well and we appreciate it. And so it's not that I think I'm terrible at it. It's just that it just takes a lot out of me and is really stressful. And I, just find myself just not wanting to deal with it anymore. I just want to reduce my stress levels. And here's another thing I wanted to tell you all about, and this has a lot to do with the stress, is that I've been having severe allergies for over a year now. So my serious allergies started a year ago, and I've had a stuffed up nose, itchy face, watery eyes, runny nose, headaches, just everything for a year straight. And at first I just thought, okay, it's just some kind of pollen or something. And then, because it started last summer, and then it get into the fall, and I'm thinking, oh my God, when is this going to end? And then we're into winter, and I'm like, it's got to end in the winter because there's no pollen around, and I still had all these allergies. And then we're into spring, and I still have them. And now we're back into summer, into August again, and I still have them. I wake up every morning, runny nose, stuffed up nose, can't breathe. It's making me snore every night, which is, I've been sleeping on the couch for a year. It's not to keep my partner awake. And it's just really bad. And I got headaches. And so I finally went to see a nutritionist, allergist person a few days ago, and was tested for all this, all these different things. And what we discovered is that my immune system is completely out of whack, and at the moment my body is reacting as if it is allergic to just everything, like fruits, vegetables, grains, dairy, all of it. So right now if I eat an apple, or I eat a piece of bread, or I eat some carrots, or anything like that, my body is having an allergic reaction to it, and it's causing my body to get all stuffed up and sniffly and runny nose. And so this is messed up. And we figured, based on the timeline, that this is likely caused by stress that I just went through leading up to a year ago, probably the longest, most stressful period of my life, like just a couple years of pure stress, like being stressed every day, all day, nonstop for 2 years straight. So my body was just in super stress mode and just threw my immune system out of whack. So now I'm reacting to everything. And the only thing I'm testing okay for that my body's not reacting to with an allergic response is meat and seeds and nuts. So I'm on a strict diet now of only eating meat and seeds and nuts, and I'm going to do that, I don't know for how long, it might be a few months, and basically have to reset my body and then reset my immune system and then go back in and slowly reintroduce these different things and train my body to not react to them the way it has been. So, you know, so that I can have an apple again, or I can eat a salad again, or I can, you know, whatever, have a piece of cheese or something without my body immediately getting stuffed up and creating mucus and sneezing and itchy eyes and all this other stuff. So, yeah, it's just been crazy, the amount of stress. So I'm realizing, like, I'm in a state right now where my body is hyper-stressed and has been for sustained state of hyper stress for a few years now, and I just can't keep that going. It's crazy too, because I've done some of the things I've read have said that people with ADHD, you know, sometimes have like 10 years shorter lifespan than regular people, and I can understand why. Or people with Asperger's, like, you know, because there is so much stress. Like, I don't think people really understand what it's like to live in this neurotypical world when you have Asperger's. You're in a constant state of stress because you just don't understand how the world works. Your brain is just wired completely differently from everyone else. So even everyday normal things, like everyday normal conversations or everyday normal negotiations of little things, like with your coworkers or your boss or your peers, or just conversations, just going to like the store can be super stressful for people with autism. And so you live in this constant state of stress, and you have to do everything you can to dial that back. which means for me right now, it's going to mean working less days and removing responsibility at work and just getting down to like the basics. Like I will just do the bare minimum, like the basics. I'm not saying be lazy or not do work hard, because I'm a hard worker and I'm good at my job, but it's like just, I don't want any more responsibility than what is absolutely necessary to just show up, do my job, do it well, but then at the end of my shift, leave and not take anything home with me, not have to think about it, not have people calling me or texting me on my day off, and just leave so that I can focus on my health, I can go to the gym, I can go for a run, I can spend time with my family, I can spend time at home cleaning the house, or which, you know, is a whole other ball of worms, because cleaning the house for me is hugely stressful, but at least I can try to contribute to my household in a way that I can't right now. So, but anyway, I'm curious if anyone else has ever had something like this. Like my stress levels were just through the roof. I've gained a ton of weight, which is another thing we talked about with the nutritionist, because the stress hormones, I think it's cortisol. That when your body is full of those stress hormones, it tells your body to store fat around your abdomen. So I've got this big fat gut right now, and like a roll around my body, and it's because of that. And well, that's one of the reasons. It's also I think also in that state of stress, in a state of constant stress, I've found myself probably reaching for foods that I shouldn't be reaching for. But you know, you get into that like carb addiction kind of thing when you're stressed out, because you're trying to like kick your body into these like peaks, right? These little sugar highs or something. So I don't know. There's a lot of that. So part of me is really thankful for this. Like, okay, I'm just going to go down to like just straight meat and nuts and seeds and lots of water, and I'm going to reset my body, reset my immune system, get rid of these allergy symptoms. So I'm on like the third or fourth day of this now. I feel fine. I feel good. I'm just not sure. It might be a little tricky for a few weeks as my body adapts and reacts to like suddenly not having anything other than meat or nuts and seeds. But I just, and I also have to do everything I can to reduce these stress levels. So I've got to, you know, like I said, dial back the amount of time I'm working and the responsibilities I have, and make sure I am going for a run, going for a walk, doing those things to relax. And I'm also it's been a long time since I had a regular meditation practice, and I want to get back on that, back into that, and I know that'll help. So that's something I want to focus on too. I've downloaded the Sam Harris meditation app, which I'm going to start using, and if anyone else is using that, I'd love to hear from you how it's working out for you. So anyway, that's what's going on with me. As far as my diagnosis journey is going, as you all know, I had that meeting with a psychologist a month ago. I don't think it went very well. At the end of it, she was like, you need to be on meds for ADHD, but I don't know if you have Asperger's, but a lot of the things that she said, noticed, like that were or weren't indicative of Asperger's, were things that either I've like learned how to mask and mimic, or things that just didn't make sense. Like one of the things she said about the tattoos, and I went onto Facebook to one of the support groups I'm part of and asked, and a bunch of people there were like, no, I got tattoos, I have tattoos, I have tattoos. Like, so, you know, when someone goes, oh, well, no one without, like, people with autism can't get tattooed. Well, I just heard from half a dozen people with autism who have tattoos. So that didn't make sense. So I don't know. There's lots of these things. I'm now trying to figure out where to go. I'm going to go back to my GP, my family doctor, and just say, look, I need to get a referral to a psychiatrist. I'm trying to find somebody who's experienced with autism in adults, and go from there. But it's just a really, it's one of these things where I'm trying not to get discouraged, because I don't want to get discouraged to the point where I just say, well, fuck it, like, what's the point? There's no point in working, like, towards this, because no one gives a fuck, and no one, like, I don't want to get into that negative thought spiral. It's hard not to sometimes, but I just, if I feel that starting to happen, I have to just catch it and go, nope, Ryan, like, you're going to have hard times here. There's going to be people that aren't the right people for you to be talking to, and eventually you'll find the right people to be talking to. So, you know, the only place I know of in London, which is the city closest to us, because we live out in the country, the only place I know of there that's experienced with autism, they're not taking new people on. They're not seeing anyone new. So I've tried calling, and just gotten nowhere there. They're just too busy. So there's a need for this, you know. But I don't know. I might end up having to go to Toronto or some other city somewhere to find somebody. Like, even if I have to drive 3 or 4 hours, I'll drive 3 or 4 hours just to go talk to somebody who knows this and understands this. Because I need help to know it and understand it and know what I need to do. And yeah, maybe I do need medication for the ADHD, but I don't want to start taking that first without also having the autism diagnosis, because I don't know if someone just has ADHD and that's what that medication is designed for. But how do those medications work with someone who has ADHD and Asperger's and also has a history of bipolar symptoms as well? Like, you know, because I've had many periods in my life where I've been very bipolar. So I worry that if I start taking meds without somebody understanding all of this stuff together, then it might not be a good thing. It could go very bad. So I don't want to do that. So anyway, here we are. That's the update here. Again, I'm sorry for the delay in episodes. It might be another few weeks before I can sort of dial back my work stuff to the point where I'm going to make time for this, because I really need to just block out a specific chunk of time on a specific day, every day of the week, to do this. That's the only way I'm going to really be able to do it weekly. But I just need to figure that out right now, because right now I don't have that chunk of time. And other than today, because it's just, like I said, kind of just going off the top of my head, I'm doing this in the car on the drive, but I can't do that every week, because usually I want to have some notes down and things that I've planned to talk about, and be sitting down at a table recording properly. And also, the sound is probably not the greatest today because I'm in the car. So again, I apologize for that. But okay, I guess that's probably it for now. I don't know what else to tell you about. Just wanted to say hello and reach out so you all hear from me, give you an update. Again, shout out to the Them Asperger's podcast, because that episode I just listened to was pretty neat. I didn't get through the whole thing, but I still have to finish it. But it was just interesting hearing, when you hear somebody talk about something that they experience, and then you just go, oh my God, yes, that's me too. Like, yes, that's it. That's exactly what happens in my brain. But you hear them talk about it. And there was a funny part, actually, with the two of them, and they were talking about cleaning up the house, and how the one guy, he, to him, like, cleaning up the house seems like such a bigger job than it is. But to the woman on the podcast, she's like, yeah, but it only takes me 10 minutes to tidy up. But to him, it's like this giant project. And I feel like that at home too. Like, my partner, she can tidy up the house. I can go out for half an hour or an hour and come home and she's tidied up, and I'm just like, I don't even understand how you did that in half an hour or an hour, because in 3 hours I couldn't do what you just did. And it's like, why is that? What is, so when I look at a cleaning, when I look at a dirty house or a dirty room or like a project I have to clean or something, it oftentimes is so overwhelming to me. And then people go like, oh, like I might have two or three hours before I have to leave for work. So a normal person could go, oh yeah, in that 2 or 3 hours, like you can get a bunch of stuff done. But to me, that 2 or 3 hours is just like, I can't do anything because I don't know how to do anything in just 2 or 3 hours. Like everything I do takes longer, or like if someone's like, oh, you have to leave for work in 2 hours, like you have time to clean the house. It's like, I look at it and I go, I don't have time to clean the house, because I'll start taking something apart. Like I'll pull everything out of a cupboard or something and start cleaning it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I got to go for work now. And everything's out, but I don't have time to put it all back. So then I leave, and then someone else comes home, and it, like, there's all the shit all pulled out, or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, well, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to do just, like, a little bit, or just in a little bit of time. So when I look at these jobs, it often feels overwhelming to me. Like, I look at cleaning the bathroom, and you go, well, it's cleaning the sink, Windexing the mirror, wiping down the toilet, putting some cleaner in the toilet, using the toilet brush to scrub that, spraying the bathtub, scrubbing that down, and then wiping the floor. And you look at all that and you go, a reasonable person could probably do all of that in like 20 minutes. But for me, that's like a 2-hour gig. And I don't know why, but it just is. So someone could like a normal person could be like, oh, I have to leave for work in half an hour, like I'll just clean the bathroom real quick before I go. I don't have that. I look at the bathroom and I go, okay, I need to find like some time when I have like 2 or 3 hours to do it. And if I don't find that 2 or 3 hours, then it just doesn't get done for weeks, and then it builds up, and then it gets more and more stressful. I don't know how to explain this to people who are neurotypical. Again, it always just feels like you're making excuses, or you're crazy. You feel like a crazy person talking like this, or that you're worried that they're just going to think you're being lazy, or you're making excuses, or something else. But that's not the case. It's just like your brain just works differently. You don't see it the same way. You don't experience it the same way. And you have to come up with systems to enable yourself to do these things. And for me, these systems are, like, I have to have a structured plan in place on how I do things and when I do them, with specific chunks of time set aside. And those chunks of time are longer than normal people require to do the same task. And that's a big ask. And I know that that can be stressful on a partner who's neurotypical, because they're just like, well, why? Why do you need 3 hours to do something that I can do in half an hour? Like, that's so unreasonable. And I just go, yeah, it is. And that's why, like, I always prefer just hiring a house cleaner, because if I can pay somebody $30 to clean my house in 2 hours, they can do in 2 hours what would take me an entire 8 or 10 hour day to do. So that $30 is worth it to me to pay them. And I'm just like, let's do that. So instead of getting, like, I have the solution. Instead of getting upset with me for not cleaning, I'll pay for someone to do it. But, you know, we run into a roadblock there, because, you know, just, you know, we think differently. Because someone else goes, well, why would I pay someone to do it when we can just do it ourselves and we're perfectly capable of doing it? And I go, yeah, you are perfectly capable of doing it. I am not. You know? But then that, it's hard for other people to understand that. Anyway, I'm getting close to work now. I wonder how much time I've been on this thing. 37 minutes. That's probably long enough. I'm also thinking about a rebrand for the podcast, a different name. I'll tell you about that later. I got some cool ideas. I always have cool ideas. I just don't have time to do them. Anyway, I hope this sounds okay on this. I love you all. I hope you're doing well. Please write to me. Let me know how you're doing. And in another, you know, I'm working on, over the next few weeks, sorting out my schedule so I can get back on to doing this on a regular basis and having more conversations with other people on the podcast. I really like doing that. It's really so eye-opening for me. It's such a joy and a pleasure to talk to other people who get me, who I get, just to talk to other people who are from this same wacky, neurodiverse, autistic tribe. It feels good to know you're out there. So anyway, I love you all. Have a great day. Take care of yourselves. And I will be in touch soon again with a new episode. And there we go. All right. Peace, love, Asperger's. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, hit me on social media. At Adulting with Asperger's. That's on Instagram and Facebook. All right. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.